You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
I was listening to the radio station this morning, and the radio station, like there's one. I was listening to the AM at radio, Billie Jean came on, and it made me miss, not the song, just reminisce of the 80s.
Yes.
And like when you were a kid and all that kind of stuff, and like Michael Jackson and how much like he was, like I loved that album.
Dude, I used to stay up on Friday nights to watch Friday night videos. Because we didn't have MTV, so that was the only chance that you got to see it. And I just remember, like, the first hour I'm locked, and then I'm falling asleep, and the second hour was fantastic.
Oh, it's so good.
Loved. Man, we were blessed to grow up in the 80s.
I think so. I really feel like we were in the best era, and everything else has gone down from 90.
Let's welcome our
on.
Producer, Kyle. What generation did you grow up in, Kyle?
Well, back in World War II. No, too short. I mean, I was born
back
in 65.
When I had a stick and a rock.
So I consider the 70s. I think the 70s were the best.
The music-wise, I would say the 70s were the best. I think musically...
How was it moving from the Bronze Age to the Iron Age, really?
Look, the 80s were good, but that's when, you know, music sort of died.
Anyways, yeah, because it all went synth. Anyways, this is Known Legacy Podcast. Thank you guys for listening and checking it out. Today we have a great guest, Chad, with China Aid, and we're going to dive into some great conversations with him, so you don't want to miss that. As always, check us out on Instagram. You can like us, share. Always makes a huge help. If you find any of the Bill's reels that he posts on a regular basis helpful, man, share those bad boys. It always helps
you
get the word out of something that we've been investing in for over 6 years, and we believe God is helping guys to wake up, gear up, and come alive.
Absolutely.
And that's why we do this, and that's why you listen. And so help us get it into the pods and the minds and the stream of other people.
Yes,
amen.
I love it. That's so good.
All right, so boys, here's the question. Summer is upon us. I got a frog in my throat because I just had a week at camp, and I spoke. And
you were yelling, weren't you?
Yelled and screamed and had a wonderful time.
Yes.
And in summer, I don't know. For me, it's that time to catch up.
Yeah.
And so I will find myself going into a series that someone else has mentioned maybe 5 months ago and I haven't picked up. And all of a sudden, one night, I'm like 8 episodes in, and I just binge the snot out of it or whatever.
Yeah.
So my question is, what is your obsession right now? Like, what is your binge? What is your obsession? It could be well beyond just TV or whatever,
anything,
movies.
Like,
it could be anything. It could be food.
Okay.
It could be anything.
Okay.
What's your binge?
Do you want me to start? You want to start? Go for it, Kyle.
Oh. Okay, I'll go for it. Lately we've been doing a whole, every night we almost watch a movie at home. And we do this because my wife is still learning to perfect her English.
Yeah.
So we're pretty random in what we pick to watch, but we've been really watching the old... what I call the sort of the SNL movies, you know, The Stripes, The Caddyshack.
Yes. Tommy Boy.
Spies Like Us. Yeah, all that stuff.
Billy Madison.
Yeah.
Spies Like Us.
That was a movie in forever. Fantastic. The RV.
Yes.
Yes. Fantastic. And shockingly enough, a little bit of a prophecy, it looks like, with the issues we're having in the Middle East still.
Well, the Spies, so, yes. No, you're thinking of Stripes.
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 Then
it
was actually Czechoslovakia they went into.
Yes.
But it was Russian Guards for some reason.
The Spies Like Us, all I remember from Spies Like Us is Solfinka.
So I feel like I need to reinvest in the entire genre.
Oh, it's
since
so
I've got
good.
All these movies blending together into
one. They
were
one. So good.
How about
so
you,
good.
Bill? What's your current obsession?
My current obsession is I realize how old I'm getting. This is what I'm realizing.
Was it the back pain? Was it the knee joints?
Actually, that's getting better. I'm losing, you know, I'm feeling better with that. But I'm finding myself, so I watched Tombstone, and then I was like, which is always a good movie. And I'm like, you know what? This Audible book came up, The Life of Doc Holliday.
Oh.
And so I've been like binge listening to Doc Holliday while like do dishes or whatever, like fixing lights or whatever around like the house. And it wasn't as romantic as was put into that. You may not know this, but a made-for-TV movie or a movie isn't
what?
Exactly.
It's not a documentary. Tombstone the movie was not a documentary.
But
what?
It was. But I am loving it because I'm learning all this crazy stuff about Doc Holliday and all that kind of. And so, needless to say, that's kind of what I've been doing. That's why I'm saying I'm getting old.
As one who is also getting old, unfortunately, we're in the same exact boat. I spent a ton of time in my car.
Yeah.
Just driving to churches, partner churches, everything else in the DFW area. And so I've been listening to a series, The Stormlight Chronicles or whatever it's called, Archives, I think it was. And it's like every book was 50 or 60 hours
worth
of audio.
Are they like fiction or what are they?
They're fiction, yeah.
That's awesome.
And there's like 5 books in the series. And so I literally have spent like 5 months of my life over the last year and a half listening to all of it. I mean, I'm done.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was okay. It didn't end the way I wanted it to, but whatever, you know, he's the author. He can write whatever he wants. And so I'm like, you know what? I should probably do something beneficial, efficacious, if you would.
Whoa.
So I decided I'm going to listen to a documentary about Ulysses S. Grant. And wow, what a character.
Wow.
So I'm binging this guy and I'm like, first off, what a military mind. Second off, what a man who struggled with his demons. Big time, alcoholism, all of that stuff. Fascinating stuff. So I also am like the old man that's like,
high five.
I'm listening to stuff about the Civil War and I'm learning.
Today's podcast is brought to you by AARP.
So there's this comedian that talks about getting old and he's like, you know you're getting old when one morning you wake up and you're like, oh, what bird was that?
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Start paying attention to birds.
Swear to God, that happened to me today.
Oh, man.
I was watering my plants. That's problem number one. I was out watering my plants, and this bird that I had never seen before flies through. I'm like, oh, I wonder what kind of bird that was. I promise you, I looked it up, couldn't find anything on it, and I'm like, oh, boy.
If you know what an ornithologist is, you have back problems. So, hey, man, well, we're so glad to have you. If you're still here, we really appreciate you staying around for all of us. For anybody under 30, we're really sorry. But someday,
trust us, it'll come.
You will be
it'll
this
come.
Guy.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You'll look back and go, man, those guys were, yeah, I get it now.
They were. Well, we want to introduce
our guest,
yeah,
man.
I just want to introduce you to our guest, Chad Bullard, who is the CEO of China Aid. We're so glad to have you on, Chad.
Thank you, guys. It's an honor to be here, so thank you guys so much.
We love having you on, man. We've had you on a long time ago and almost in a different role, I think. You're in a different role. And so he kind of helped us with health and things like that.
But yeah.
Yeah. That was, yeah,
it was like 3 years ago.
It was more than that.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That was pre-COVID. So that's how long that was.
Wow. Oh, wow. So, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Podcast was amazing. Unfortunately, my health still suffers. And
we are drinking black coffee, if that makes it feel better. There's no sugar in this.
Hey, there you go. Okay, good.
Cut the carbs.
No sugar.
So, all right. So what about you? What is your current obsession, kind of anything like that?
You know, I would say for me, I just since I used to work with the government and work terrorism, so the big thing for me is this war that's going on, and of course everything that happened in 2023 with the hostages there in Israel and Hamas. And so I binge on that a lot. So I love to read. I read a lot of course, nonfiction and the news. So that's kind of been mine. And then I think sports for me, too. My kids are playing sports. And
nice.
Sports.
Nice.
We're finishing up the World Series here. Well, this week, the finals are tomorrow, if we can make it through today. And so
the legit World Series, like that's on television and everything?
Okay, so in big city markets, they can't do Little League. They can't do the Little League World Series because this population, it's too big.
Gotcha.
So it has to be from smaller communities. So this is, it's called National Championship Sports.
That's
so
awesome.
That's how that works. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
it's, congratulations, man. That's exciting.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
What position did your boy play?
Cool. He is playing shortstop and center field. That's the two positions.
He's fast.
Yeah. It's got to be fast.
Yeah, so just so you know, just side note, I don't know if Chad knows this, but Chad and his wife are both specimens of human beings, and they're like amazing, and so their son is a byproduct of these two.
Kind of like Captain America?
That's really it, yeah. This is Captain America.
I was going to say, he's got some guns, man.
And Mrs. Captain America. No chance, man. I know you.
And we just lost our last listener. All right.
Well, now that it's just the four of us, let's talk.
Okay. So you said you were in special ops. What branch of the military? If you can talk about it. I know, whatever else. But,
so
what was that story?
I was actually a federal agent. So I was a police officer. And then I went over to the Federal Air Marshal Service under Homeland Security. And then transferred into the terrorism task force, and then also did some international work. So,
well, man, can you kind of share some more of your story? Kind of brief those who haven't heard the last podcast. Kind of who you are. Share a little bit about your story, and maybe even your move from there to full time ministry. Really, I mean, because that's still what you're doing.
Yeah,
is just that impact. Can you share some of that story with our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, my dream was I was going to go to college. Actually, I was going to be a Navy SEAL. And then my parents were like, go to college. You'll be one of the first ones to ever graduate. Why don't you go to college? Mm. And if you have trouble or you just hate it, then you can go into the military. I said, okay. So I went through college junior year, and I was like, okay, I can do this. And so I end up finishing school. Then I just started applying at police departments. And so I knew I wanted to be a police officer if I wasn't in Special Forces. So throughout there, then I got on a SWAT team, did some special weapons and tactics work. And then after 9/11, I was in the process with the United States Secret Service and the Air Marshals. Yep. And during that time, I was picked up by the Air Marshals, and they were looking for law enforcement that had experience. And so it paid well at the time, and they were trying to hire mass numbers.
Yep.
And so
yep.
That's where I got on right after 9/11. And so jumped on a plane, and I was based out of the Dallas field office.
Yeah.
Worked there. I worked
we
with
know
some
if,
high
We know a few Air Marshals. We know a few Air Marshals that have passed our – what? James and Lynn. Do you know those two guys?
What's Lynn's last name? Yes. Are they based out of Dallas?
Fast. Lynn Fast.
I know Lynn Fast. Yes. I was in training at the Dallas field office.
That's crazy. Yeah, he was my neighbor, man. Love that dude. He was lights out, one of the best guys I ever knew. And oh, man, that dude could – he was on point when it came to firearms, dude. That guy – he was like freaking William Tell, man. It was fantastic. All you guys have to be. That's the one thing that I know. Like, Air Marshal, you guys have to be amazingly good with your sidearm.
Yeah.
Anyways, I digress.
Most trained federal law enforcement agency. So, yeah.
Wow.
I was in training there. So, that's cool.
So, you were there, and then kind of what happened? So, you were involved in that?
Yeah, so then I transferred up to D.C. So, I went into the investigations division there in Washington, D.C. And so, worked there for a period of time, and then was an international liaison. And then I applied for a supervisor position, and I was promoted. I was about 35 at the time, got promoted. And I'll never forget, and this is where I realized, I'm like, wait a minute, this might be, this has become almost an obsession for me, an addiction. My wife was pregnant at the time, and I just got promoted. And I was in the elevator, and I was going to meet with one of the deputy directors just to give me the rah-rah speech and congratulations, and because I'd just been told that I was promoted. And I was on my knee in that elevator trying to figure out the prayer for my next promotion. And God was like, hold on. You have not even been sworn in at this phase, and you're already looking to get to the next level. And so at that point, I was like, wow, I am thriving to do something that this is for me. And it wasn't for other people.
Wow. So what was the turning? So that was the turning point. What was the kind of the journey from there to when I met you in our tough job at ministry? Like, it was kind of like, it's kind of like FBI. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you're Jason Bourne.
Yeah, exactly. No, really, really, really. Share some of that.
So I remember I was under Bush and President Obama, and I was going in. Of course, you're going into D.C., and I was sitting there, and I'm coming over, and I'm actually going to work, and there you see, of course, the helicopters, the presidential helicopters landing out there, and I was like, man, this is so cool. And then I remember it was like one of those moments. It was like God said, yeah, but you're putting everything into your work, and is that really where you're supposed to be? Mm-hmm. And so it was one of those moments. And then we had our daughter, and Tamara looked at me, and I don't know if y'all remember some of the things that were going on back then. The reason you have to take off your shoes in the airport, because we had the shoe bomber.
Yes, the shoe bomber,
so
yep.
I was getting called on that shoe bomber. I was going back and forth on that case right there. Wow. And my daughter was being born. And she looked over, and I'll never forget this. I was there. It was about 2 days later. She was like, you've been here for 2 days, but I don't know if you've been here an hour with us.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's a problem. Because I was working nonstop, because I loved it, right? I loved it. I was passionate about it. And then it was just slowly God changed the trajectory over the next about 18 months. I did a speaking engagement, and somebody from Stonegate Church in Midland was there and said, are you supposed to be a pastor? And I was like, how do you make money as a pastor? That's literally my response.
Yeah.
And
we're still wondering the same thing. So
still wondering the same thing.
The mystery continues.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, just over time, I talked to Tamara, and she was like, I said, have you thought about us going back to going out to Midland? And she was like, unless God changes my heart, no, no. And ultimately, about 9 months from that point, we ended up out there. And I remember saying at that point, I hadn't gone to seminary at all. And they said, we need leaders. We need leaders in the church that have a heart.
That was when I met Chad. I remember meeting him right there in Midland, and we kind of then the journey continued. But then his journey didn't stop there. I mean, he did ministry for kids for how many years were you involved at Stonegate?
Yeah, I was involved there about almost 7 years because I started out. Of course, we had a very large kids ministry, a large adult ministry there, a large volunteer base. And then that's where we met. And then after that, I went over and worked on planning the Odessa campus for Stonegate.
Yes, he helped plant that church.
So then how did you end up with China Aid? I have no doubt that God, I love the story because God has no doubt used your obsession in your job and your promotions and your exceptional skill in investigations and law enforcement and is now leveraging that, redeeming that in some ways, in unexpected ways, I would wager to bet, to do something like powerfully needed in the ministry. And how did you end up with China Aid?
Great question. So I was living back in Midland, Odessa, and China Aid had moved their headquarters to Midland, Odessa. They still had an office and a small office in LA and then one in Washington, D.C. But I was asked to see if I was interested in being on the board. And this was about 2011, I believe. And I was like, sure. I was like, what skill set are you guys looking for a board member? And they really specifically said, we need somebody that has a background in security and law enforcement because Bob Fu, he's the president,
right.
Dr. Fu, he was getting, of course, death threats. There was all kinds of cyber security issues, hacking. And so they said, we need somebody on the board that can kind of oversee this part of it. And so that was my first initiation to China Aid, and I've been on the board ever since, and now currently the CEO. So,
for those who don't know, can you share a little bit about China Aid, its mission, and its vision?
Yes. So China Aid, we are an organization that we call it the three E's. We expose the atrocities going on in China, and there are so many things that China is doing. I mean, we get reports from Christians that are arrested daily in these house churches, these pastors that are arrested, the elders that are arrested, and they need assistance. So we expose a lot of the things that are going on there, and then we also encourage them. So how we encourage them, we will hire a lawyer for them. If a pastor is arrested and he does not have a lawyer present or one with him, then he disappears in the criminal justice system in China, and so no one has contact with him. So we immediately try to get him legal representation right out of the hat, and so that's what we do. And then we equip the church pastors. That could be anywhere in the world that we can get these house church pastors in China to. That's basically what we do. Yeah.
Basically, that's basically the simplicity of helping free people. Other than that, it's pretty easy.
And honestly, we get the gospel into China. Let's be honest. I mean, we have people and sources that do different things for us. We got a massive production going on right now. I wish I could go into detail. I can go into detail off screen, but it's just really, really cool. And just pray about it. If you listeners would just pray about it, because it's one of the largest operations that we've ever had getting the gospel into China. And it's very underground. It's very CIA-ish. And so we don't want to expose people, obviously, but it is really, really cool. So
wow,
that's fantastic.
It's pretty amazing. How would you articulate to a church, like if you were to go into like a church and share, how can a church in America help you guys in China Aid?
I mean, I think first of all, they can just pray. We have our employees, we have sources on the ground. So if you'll just think of it like this, you have the Mossad, they got into Iran. They're on the ground, there's sources on the ground. We have sources on the ground, like the CIA. So when you're working with sources on the ground, there's always a great risk. And it's something that we really need prayer for, because some of our employees do end up getting arrested and going to prison.
Yeah.
And so we had, we call it Sunday School in the Box, but Sunday School in the Box was basically this little microchip that had the whole Bible on it. It had worship music. It had kids basically lessons. And we had a husband and wife that were in charge of that distribution, and they were arrested, and she got 3 years in prison and he got 2 years in prison. And
wow.
So it's just It's just risky.
Yeah, just for clarity, for those who are listening, he's talking about getting this. It's literally the Bible in China. That's how illegal it is right now to go. Yes. And so I think just making awareness that the freedoms that we kind of take for granted here in America, that these guys are over there risking their lives to try and bring hope to people in ways that it's illegal over there. So
I was going to go back a little bit, because I think there's a lot of guys that may find themselves in the same position you were, where the Holy Spirit spoke through their wife and said, "You've been here 2 days, but I don't think you've been an hour with me." Mm-hmm. And they're in careers that they've been giving their hearts to, their lives to, mm-hmm. their energy and everything to, and they're realizing at some point it's not as fulfilling, or maybe it's not the calling that God originally had intended for them. What would you tell a guy that's driving around in his car and listening to this, and he's like, "Dude, I know where he's been because I felt that.
Yeah.
I've experienced that." What advice would you have to that guy in the car right now, that God might be preparing him for a huge transition?
Mm.
That's good. I would just say, don't put too much into it, because if you put all your faith and trust in that money and in that job, God will change your heart and He'll take it away if you're not careful. And Ooh. So I would just say, be careful, because we all know that God comes first, family, kids. And when you put your heart and soul into that, it could be taken away. So that could be through kids. I mean, I was just meeting with a guy who he was diehard in his job. I mean, just diehard. And his son's 27 years old, came to him literally 2 years ago, a year ago. And said, "Dad, I got something to address. I played high school football, and you never showed up for any of my games."
And we're talking a decade later.
Yes. And so I think right there, and I think that's one of the things that I'm trying to do is I don't want to get so caught up in this that I miss this. Because somebody was telling me the other day, they're like, "How old is your daughter?" And I said, "Well, I have a daughter that's a sophomore in high school." They said, "You realize you have 900 days left with her?" Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Oh, 900 days.
Yeah.
That's a shocker."
Yes.
You know, so I think it is where just really purging any of that, maybe pride and a little bit of just, I don't want to say arrogance, but maybe it is some arrogance there, or I can do this and I'm good at this and I'm good at this, and just seeking the Lord out on it. Because if you're not careful, it may be 5 years from now, it may be 10, but things can be taken away. And so, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the job. It may be family, it may be wife, but I would just say balance yourself out.
Yeah. Well, and I think, and it's not because of punishment necessarily. It's because God is like, "Dude, I'm going to have to, if I have to turn it up to 11 to have you be obedient to what I'm calling you to, I will turn it up to 11. Yes. I want you to hear at 1. Mm-hmm. I would love it if you heard at 2. But if it takes 11, God and His sovereignty is going to turn it up to 11. Yeah. So as we kind of wrap up the conversation, first and foremost, thank you, Chad, so much. I appreciate this. You probably have a very unique perspective on China in general. And I'm kind of putting my lens through the guys that I talk to. What do we as Americans get right about China? And what are things that we as Americans get wrong about China because of the influence of media, regardless of what outlet we listen to?
Sure. I would say some of the things that we get right about China is China, historically, their culture, it's a beautiful culture. Beautiful people, beautiful heart, beautiful culture, hard workers. I mean, I've been to China. I've been all over, you know, East Asia. Great culture over there. I think what we sometimes get wrong is China is, they're after us, no doubt about it. Their government is corrupt. Their government is after the United States because we're the superpower. And whether that's through viruses, whether that's through military action, whether that's through hacking, militarily, they're going to struggle with us because we are the superpower. We're still the superpower. So how do they do it? They take us down in other ways. They take us down through cyber. They take us down through viruses. And that's how you start driving the economy down. Let's look at 9/11. But COVID. We had just bought a gym. That gym shut us down for 3 months. That cost us almost $100,000 out of our pocket because of a virus that was created over there in a lab.
Yep.
And look what it done. So we're still reeling from that. So I think that's where people just don't quite understand the magnitude of Xi Jinping and his leadership. I don't think they fully get the full story. I mean, I could go into organ harvesting. I could go into so much stuff, but it's incredible the stuff that happens over there.
That's very helpful, actually. And I love how you said, first and foremost, the people there are beautiful.
Yes.
And they are in desperate need, and I think receptive to the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. Any Amen. Culture that's so obsessed with production and productivity yeah. and working hard, the gospel can be just literally life-giving water to them.
Yeah, it's not the culture, it's the government.
Right.
You know, and again, I remember in, 2013 when Xi Jinping started burning, like knocking down crosses and... That's really when things really got heavy.
Right.
It was heavy before that, but I mean, when he became like the supreme leader, for all intents and purposes, I mean, that's when things really got bad. Yeah. Like, hey, this is getting worse and worse. And so, I think that's kind of the part that we don't see because we glaze over it in America.
Well, and I think if I'm going to confess something to you guys, it's easy for me to focus on the government's bad and evil, and I need to wake up and realize the people are in desperate need of the gospel. Yes. And if we're going to have a culture that's changed and shifted in China where no longer does the government want to destroy us, it's going to come from the grassroots and that gospel movement taking fire in that community,
in that
large nation. And so for me, I need to wake up and go, man, I've got to be praying for China and the people of China and the gospel to absolutely transform China from the inside out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that brings up a good point is since the beginning of this, I mean, the church in China has grown, correct?
Yes, the church is, I mean, they're seeing a movement. They are seeing a movement. And I think that's something that we really need to bring up because it's, 1.3 billion people, them and India are the two largest countries in the world. And the more we press that, the more we have people on their knees praying for that country, because I think they're so receptive to the gospel. Every time, I mean, I'm in the area or we bring people in, I mean, they want to hear it. I mean, I've literally baptized people at training at a conference just
that's
in the top
awesome.
Of a hotel over there. Yeah. And so it's just people are desperate for the gospel. They're hungry for the gospel. And so
here's my call of action for us as the Known Legacy podcast crew. I just made that up. Hashtag copyright. So, okay.
copyright 2025.
Travis Archin. All right. Archin. There we go. I think we need to commit maybe this summer is a summer 2025 that we pray daily for the people and the gospel movement in China.
Yeah.
And see what God might be able to do through that. Mm. If we as a group of men across this nation, as you hear this podcast, just would hit our knees on a daily basis and pray for the people and the gospel in China.
Yeah. And I think so the prayer is so the good. First side. And I think the second side is, Chad, what is a tangible action that the listeners can do to help support China Aid as well?
Yeah.
I mean, so we're always, you can go to www.chinaaid.org. We have a Bible drive. We're wanting to get 200,000 kids' Bibles into China. And so, I mean, you can go on and give $5. That's one Bible. And we are processing those. So I think that's something that some of the listeners can do if you're interested. And so if you're a child under the age of 18, you are not allowed to attend church. So we think it's very purposeful to get a hard copy Bible. And these hard copy Bibles are a little bit in disguise. We got some stuff going on there. But we would love for you guys to literally $5. $5, you go on, it takes 1 minute. And we're sending it to our production. And
less than a cup of coffee.
Less than a cup of coffee.
You can get a Bible into the hands of a kid in China so that they may be exposed to the good news of Jesus and the Spirit might be able to transform them from the inside out.
What a great family event to do this summer is to think about, hey, we're going to take the month of July and we're going to just this month grab a jar and whatever change we have, we're going to throw that in there. You know what I'm saying? We're going to just get a jar of change so at the end of July we can then support however many Bibles are in here.
Right.
And each one goes into the hands of a kid. I mean, I love it. And getting to be there in it was 2018, I think we went over to Korea, wasn't it? That we were there. You weren't there. I forgot. You weren't there.
No, but I believe it was 2018.
Yeah, it was 2018. Nope. And I remember the heart of these individuals that at the end of the conference, they knew some of them were going to go back to jail or they were going to go to jail when they went back through customs. And they were like, they weren't praying that they would not go to jail. They were praying that they would be bold in their witness when they go to jail.
While in
jail.
And
I'm like, time out. I'm going, how do I get rescued from this? Like, God, can I be invisible on the way in? I mean, like, what's my, so I can, but they were like, no, we want to just be bold in our faith.
Wow, that's
crazy.
Huge.
Different
that's
change. Huge. Different change.
That's coming alive right there.
Man, Chad, we love having you on. We want to hear more about this as we will have you on again. We like having our guests on. Our listeners enjoy hearing the same people as well. But, man, this has been a blessing. Any final thoughts, man, that you'd want to share with the listeners about China Aid, yourself, any kind of calls to action that you'd have for them?
I would say pray for the country of China, and then just pray for the United States too. I know we're going through a lot of stuff, and obviously Israel and all the wars that are going on. And I mean, this looks like end times. We don't know. World War III, of course, 1.3 billion people, you know, eradicated from this earth is what the Bible says in that last final battle. And so that could be 5 years, 10 years, 20. I don't know. But I'd say just pray for wisdom for our country and pray for wisdom for the people of China.
So. Love it. Good There's word, an man. Urgency there, and I love that.
Good yes. word. Good word. Yep. Man, it's been good having you on, man. And as we finish up, we have our fast five.
I want to see this. This is a great transition.
I know, right? We're going from like Chad.
Pray for the end of the world and 1.5 billion people losing their life. I mean, and now literally. It's time for Fast Five.
Fast Five. Right. There you go.
Drive time with no legacy.
We have to bring it up a little bit right now. People are like, what the heck? So, all right. So question number one, who do you most admire and why?
I mean, I think for me, I just have to go with Jesus. I don't have the one person that I admire Jesus. And,
that's a good one.
He's my savior. He came to this earth and he lived a perfect life and he died for my sins. So there's not even a close second. So
love it. Love
that's
it.
Awesome. That's awesome. So where would you like to go for a vacation?
You know, honestly, I'd probably just shoot for going to Florida with the family. I've traveled a lot. I travel a lot overseas. So just fine. I mean, maybe Destin. Just
Redneck Riviera, baby.
Absolutely.
Destin's beautiful.
Just hang out there. So I don't have any, I mean, I travel a lot on the plane. So just quick hour and a half, 2 hour flight to Florida would be fine.
That's lounging all you
on
need.
That
That's
sugar
all
sand.
You need.
That's absolutely.
All you need. That's right. That's right.
And then number three, what are you currently reading, whether it's the Bible or another book?
You know, for me, I've read a lot of leadership books over the years, and I'm still pro leadership and reading those books.
Good.
But right now, I'm still really just the Bible is my main source of reader.
That's so awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Anything specific you're reading right now?
No, I just kind of do my quiet times in the morning and read something. I'm into James right now. I'm actually
okay.
going through James.
That's
so,
awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What is a goal you have for this year?
You know, I think my goal for this year is, well, it's kind of been my goal. It's really just to spend more time with my kids, you know, knowing they're getting a little bit older. Yeah. I really don't want to miss out on them and really praying that God just shows me how to love them because I don't have the wisdom to love them the way they need to. So I have to really seek him out and ask for wisdom through the Bible so I can meet them where they're at. Because in my flesh, I have no idea. But when I'm walking in the Spirit, seeking the Lord, he gives me that wisdom. And so that's really what I'm doing.
Dude,
so.
as a guy who's right now reaping the fruit of that investment, my kids are all early 20s. There is nothing as sweet as having a group of kids that like each other and actually like hanging out with you. And it is an investment worth making, man.
Yes.
It's an investment worth making.
You know, and I will say.
I need this. I need that. That's great.
I will say this. Travis, man, I've watched him for 8 years, and the way he's loved his kids through a lot of things.
Yep.
And I saw pictures this week. I literally almost was brought to tears. I was going to say this to you, but when your wife posted all this stuff about Camp Arcadia and all your kids, you guys are really good parents.
We are blessed and humbled that things have worked out the way they have.
You really are. And
thanks, man.
I mean, you married out of your league, obviously.
Oh, obviously.
But
obviously.
I mean, you guys are really good parents. So shout out to Travis, too. I needed to say that to him because he's
stop
pretty amazing.
It. That's
so.
Cool.
All right, number five, man, what is the most impactful piece of advice you've ever been given?
You know, I think for me, I think as a kid would have been, you know, choose your friends wisely. They often predict your future. I remember that as a youngster and just really trying to choose the right friends and honestly having to turn away from some friends that weren't headed down the right path and then just picking different friends. And so I remember that one. And then I remember going to the police academy and them just really preaching, there is no right way to do a wrong thing, so work well.
Oh, wow, that's good.
There's no right way to do a wrong thing.
I mean, I wish I heard that whole friend thing before we started this podcast.
It's
Scott Dabbles.
Cole Friend just moved in and looking for a new co-host for Known Legacy. Info at Known Legacy is a great place to send your resume.
Exactly, exactly. Dude, this has been life-giving, man. I love that you're raising the awareness and you haven't stopped. And when I remember when Chad, when we talked, he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna be the, you know, I'm gonna go on staff with China Aid," and I was like, "Whew, it's a lot." But man, to see him have pushed through, and man, even the last couple of years with the Mayflower Church and helping rescue mm-hmm. them, and just all the things, and I'm like, these guys are modern day superheroes.
Yep.
You know, we've had Bob on a few times, and or at least one time, and just great to what you do and the impact. And I know that it's more than just a political move; it's literally for the gospel.
Correct.
And that's why I love these guys, is that they'll do anything they can to help people in the government for the sake of the gospel, and I love it. It's my favorite thing. So thank you so much for being on, man.
Dude.
Thank you, guys.
And I hope your son gets the ring and wins the World Series with his team, and you need to send us a photo of that ring on his finger and the shining smile on his face.
Yes, yeah, we want to see
all the sacrifice, all of it, making it happen.
We want to see it. Chad, thank you so much for being on today, man. You are a blessing. Guys, thanks for listening
today.
God
bless you, brother.
Check us out at info at Known Legacy. Check us out at Known Legacy on Instagram, on YouTube, all those kind of things. Make sure you follow, subscribe, like, and share.
Wake up, gear up, and come alive, man. It is time.
Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Known Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so email us your questions or comments to info@knownlegacy.org.